These are the droids you're looking for.
Over here!
Death Star alert.
You're looking for.
This is madness.
It blew my mind when I read about it.
No, it's 100% going to be the best film in the franchise.
This is madness.
Star Wars is only now starting.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
These are the droids you're looking for.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? You talking about
the droids? I felt nauseous with just pure excitement.
These are the droids you're looking for.
Why isn't it December 15th already?
And then I saw the Porg for the first time speaking. And I'll tell you what, it really whets the appetite.
These are the droids you're looking for.
This is madness.
Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. It exists. Solo, a Star Wars story, will grace theaters throughout the world this May, and we have a whole host of questions, exclamations, theories, and criticisms at the ready as we're going to discuss this movie and fill all the free moments of our lives for the next four months getting ready for this new film. Alongside Chris and Ryan, Sam is not with us this time. I am Mike, and we are excited to talk to you about what we saw, the footage that came out during the Super Bowl, and then the ensuing trailer that came out on Monday. But before we get to all of that, did anyone watch the rest of the game, or did you guys just put the teaser trailer on loop once they came on air?
I just grabbed my phone and just watched it on loop, just kind of in the corner. And then it's announced that the full trailer would have been out today. So I was like, why am I wasting my time watching the part of it over and over again?
I thought it was a bad strategy. They put it almost, I think it was almost before kickoff.
Yeah.
So
I think it was the first break in the first quarter.
Yeah. So until the huge Cloverfield news, I thought that this would be the thing that was stopping me from paying attention to the game, other than my lack of interest in football or sports. Sam, we do miss you. So did the droid heads, of course. And Sam sent us a text today just saying he won't be here because he's putting a crew together. I don't know what that means.
Very strange. And he keeps saying he wants to be the best pilot in the world.
Yeah, I just said to him, I said, Sam, why are you speaking in movie cliches? And then I saw what he was doing.
Yep.
Just in case you didn't know how I feel about this trailer.
Well, I think let's just get to it. Let's play the first clip that was the 45 seconds shown during the Super Bowl. Then following that, we'll have a brief reaction to that, and then we'll play the entire teaser trailer and get into our thoughts. So let's start with the initial one from the Super Bowl.
So you want to make a difference?
Yeah.
Trust me, you're going to love it.
And which branch are you interested in joining?
I'm going to be a pilot. Best in the galaxy.
Your name?
So the massive tip of my cat goes to Ryan for basically giving us a play-by-play before this trailer or teaser of a tease. Teaser of a tease even graced the airwaves.
I've been bragging about it all day to anyone who will listen. I nailed it. I got to say, I nailed it. I also do want to say on a serious note, even though the serious thing is that I nailed it, I liked that spot better than the full trailer. I like the 30-second spot.
Okay.
More.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, I'm surprised you would say that.
The Last Jedi thing. I was the same way with the Last Jedi.
Give me
teasers.
Less. I said, give me less.
Ryan, just for our listeners, what exactly did you nail?
Well, actually, we're going to play that clip right now.
Oh,
okay. We'll hear Ryan state exactly what happened.
We haven't even seen a trailer that's like a silhouette of the Millennium Falcon with like just like ambiguous dialogue underneath.
Right.
With like the last line being someone being like, who are you? And then the word Solo.
And there you have it. You were spot on, Ryan. I think you've watched enough trailers, enough teasers over the years. Plus, maybe there just isn't enough imagination. You did say you know someone in Disney, so maybe you had an insider's track.
Right.
What a series of ways to diminish my accomplishment here, Mike. I appreciate that. I'll have you know, I had no
screenwriter.
I had no insider knowledge. I just have watched too many trailers and too many movies in my life when I should have been socializing or learning about football. maybe then I would have understood anything that happened last night.
I don't know about
other
you need
than
the latter.
Solo.
Well, okay, in that 45 seconds, was there enough to whet the appetite, get you excited? You said that was the better version. We can compare and contrast in a moment. But what did you like in that first series of shots? I wasn't a fan of it being exactly what you drew up because I wanted it to be something different, but not surprising that for a mass audience on a Super Bowl telecast, you would just have it set up for the name to be the reveal in the title card.
It gave me confidence that, okay, this is going to be something. It wasn't, you know, it didn't give you that feeling. Sometimes you just have that feeling when you're like, oh boy, like it did. Yeah. I don't have that feeling. And I don't know. I'm not speaking for Ryan or you, Mike. I think the only thing that struck me a little weird was I think we talked about the logo animation. Yeah. Just looks a little strange.
Did anybody
it's
else?
It's really
think,
bad.
Yeah. It's really, really bad. It looks like
the Rebels logo, like
it
for
does.
Cartoon
yeah.
Network,
but it's
which
it's,
I like.
Well, it's the final when it's actually not animated. It looks okay because that was the poster. But when it's animating, All I thought was, and I am no expert in Adobe After Effects, was that was like 101, day one of first experience with Adobe After Effects. You create that. Maybe Clint Howard was given the tools to create that animation, and they said, "Well, no, you got something else under."
I'll tell you, as someone who makes a living in Adobe After Effects, that would take about 3.5 minutes to make.
Well, maybe that's the theme of this movie. Maybe, I mean, they are just constantly reshooting it down
to
the wire.
We were out of time.
Yeah, they're just like, we don't have a logo.
The theme of this movie is it's not as bad as it could have been.
The way that I envision
they have casted crew working on effects.
Is that someone on the team high up said, okay, look, we have until the Super Bowl to decide whether or not we're putting this movie out. And then they decided the day before and said, someone throw it together, get it out there. And that's how it was created.
Some stubborn title maker was like, I'm not making it until you're sure.
I'm not doing it. We are ripping on the title that I'm just like looking at our logo.
Well, so fair enough.
No, there's certain the way they animate the title and the way that it's actually like shaded is very incongruous with the
cartoonish
tone of the trailer.
Yes.
When you mention Rebels, it does remind me a lot of Rebels. And I wonder how much of this movie is going to kind of lean into Rebels because it should be technically around the same time period, right?
Yeah. Even that modified like Star Wars theme is almost exactly the Rebels theme. Yep. And I like Rebels a lot. I'm not picking on it.
Well, but you there's a different level to Rebels. You enjoy it on television in an animated form, but when you try to bring it to the big screen and it has a whole other expectation for what it should be for cinema is a different story. But I actually think that there's a lot of design elements, and not surprising, the train that's sort of like an AT-AT that reminded me of Rebels, and then the speeder chase with a motorcycle speeder that we see in both trailers, which we can talk a little bit more about, that seemed very Rebels on Lothal from early on.
Yep,
as
exactly.
Well, as
I wonder if that is Lothal.
That would be interesting. I feel, well, anyway, I think let's get to more of that, but let's play the entire teaser trailer and then we can talk about everything.
I've been running scams on the street since I was 10. I was kicked out of the flight academy for having a mind of my own. I'm gonna be a pilot. Best in the galaxy.
Hey, kid. I'm putting together a crew. You in?
That's yes.
I might be the only person. Who knows? What you really are.
What's that? Trouble there for a second, but it's fine. We're fine.
so many questions to answer.
Yep.
I mean, I'm excited to have theories. I'm excited to go into what all of you think about it. My initial gut reaction, because you, all three of us, including Sam, have talked about it so much. What's up with the jackets? It's not the best jackets. It's not Han Solo. I feel like...
I don't know. There's some pretty good jackets.
I don't know. It looked like there was some sort of bear tarp that he was wearing in a winter planet.
Yep, I'm looking at that right now. Yeah, it's some kind of winter pelt.
I'm kind of into that as long as the animal wasn't harmed.
It looks like Chewie. Maybe that's when Han has to dress up as Chewie.
I mean, to be fair, this shouldn't be my first takeaway.
In the first teaser, that shot of Lando, he has a really cool jacket on. It's actually more of a coat. I should say it's a coat.
It's a coat, but we like to think of the jackets of Star Wars.
I want to say the good stuff that I really like about this, because there's some stuff that I really do. I think, first off, it looks great. The look of it is great. And also, like you said, Chris, where they're doing something very different than what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I had no idea that it was going to be like just the kind of the drone of that music, too, like really sets a tone.
Yeah, one could say that they were like, this movie's in trouble. People really liked Rogue One and people seem to like that Blade Runner movie. Maybe we can make it look like that.
Yeah,
it kind of what they did.
That opening shot does look like Blade Runner.
Oh, but like also the drone of the music. It's very much Blade Runner-y.
Yep. All the lights are kind of neon. Well, it's got like that 19... It, for me, this feels like they're trying to do American Graffiti, like, feel. Like the 50s, all the cars are kind of hot rods. Everything's like a little shiny. You're like, you're modifying things. You're starting to see some of like the prequels. And you see this in Rebels too. It's like the cleanliness of the prequels wearing off a little, but it's still there. Almost how like the 1950s was until you hit the 60s and things get a little dirtier.
Mm-hmm. Except for in the inside of the Millennium Falcon, that we believe it's the Falcon, where it's all bright white. And I think the one thing I liked seeing online today is someone said, or they created a little visual of a cartoon of Chewie coming in and shaking off all his fur, and then that's where it gets all dirty because Chewie was shaking it out.
I think it's interesting. Well, a few things. Woody Harrelson is a man without hair. In real life. And that's great, man. Like that's fine. And he looks great without hair. And I don't know why they keep trying to convince us otherwise.
Are you telling me that you're not a fan of The Strain, the FX series where they gave Corey, what was his name?
They gave
him a full head of hair.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
that's
a strange move in this day and age. You know what? Like people should own it.
They used all of the CG animators they were going to use on the titles to do his hair.
Yeah, they got the guys that they took all of the hair off of Henry Cavill's lip and they put it on. They used the same assets.
It was the same hair. They actually got his mustache and re-rendered it and put it on.
I will say it didn't bother me. You know, it looked fine enough, but
it is strange looking.
Well, you know what he normally looks like.
And also, he's got kind of like the same hair wave that Han Solo does, which is kind of interesting. There's a definite hair theme going on here.
Maybe
like everyone has like a...
Like Solo?
Yeah. Everyone has like a very specific match or like a pair.
Ryan...
Yeah, I will say I think Alden Ehrenreich's hair looks really cool.
Yeah.
It looks very cool.
We should hope that there's more than that. Someone reacted from the first 45 seconds of the Super Bowl that he doesn't say anything. He actually does. He says he wants to be a pilot. He wants to be the best pilot in the galaxy. He says more in this. Did you get the feel in the reading of his dialogue? I guess we have to interpret this as Han Solo, even though it's not going to feel like Han Solo. Because in watching it, in no way did I get a vibe of Han Solo.
That was actually my next point that I actually kind of like about it.
Which,
because I spent a lot of today thinking about like that doesn't seem like Han Solo at all. But then I thought it'd be weird if it did. It'd be like the Uncanny Valley a little bit.
Right. Right. Yeah. We don't want it too much like Han Solo, but we want it enough. I think this movie will benefit if we're learning something new about the character, seeing even if it's like completely different, not to the point where it ruins the character, but it's like we want to see a new side of this character. If they're gonna do it, the only way this works is if like we see something new from him.
The ideal review would be embodies the spirit of.
Sure. Yeah. You know this is an interpretation of Han Solo's upbringing. What if at the end we see like Han Solo like turn the TV off and he's like, that's not how it was at all.
Well, I think with that in mind, the end of the teaser trailer seems very much like a Han Solo line written by Lawrence or Larry Kasdan, as we've come to know him. Yeah. I felt like that very much felt like the character. The voice just seemed wrong, but you just have to get past that, and I will build up to it.
You know what?
Also, go ahead, Chris.
No, I was going to say, it feels a little bit like, you know how like with Outer Universe and like Mythos and Legends stuff, it's like sometimes you'll have like a weird Han Solo in a video game, and you're like, wait a second. It almost feels like, it's okay. They get a pass. Like, we know they don't have to do a young Harrison Ford impression. Like, that can't be expected. So it is the character. And as much as Harrison Ford is embodied in the character, it's still a character separate. So it works.
Yeah,
it works.
Yeah,
for me.
And also,
it
I mean, like,
me.
Look at, he's supposed to probably be what, like 20 or something in this movie?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, look at 20-year-old Al Pacino and how he sounds now. It's different.
That's true.
You know, I mean, if this guy was trying to growl around, that'd be weird.
And I don't mean this in a negative way or a mean way, but Mark Hamill looks different from the first movie to the second movie also.
Well, that's because he got in a motorcycle accident.
Right. I know that, but I'm just saying it's like, it's not.
People age even without having their faces ripped off.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
I thought maybe you were alluding to that there's some sort of late 20s puberty that we're not aware of.
Oh,
God,
in
I
space,
hope so.
In space, yeah.
So,
man, oh, man, do I hope so.
This leads me to a larger point that I took away, which is I kind of just want this to be Lando, a Star Wars story. And if we know Harrison Ford as Han Solo so well, if you bring in Alden and you have Han Solo in a Lando movie, he can get about 15, 20 minutes of screen time, and you kind of like, all right, well, that didn't really bug me that much because you didn't overuse him. It wasn't Harrison Ford, but you had to do it so you could tell the story of Lando and Han Solo meeting. And we know so much more about Han that a Lando movie would just make so much more sense. I go back to A New Hope, and we've seen the immature version of Han throughout the entire original trilogy, but also in that movie, you got that kind of turning point in who he is when he comes back to save everyone. Mm-hmm. When he comes back, is that his maturation of the character?
Yeah.
I feel like we saw all we needed to see, so this movie isn't necessary. Whereas Lando, we don't know much about him other than being part of Cloud City and losing the Falcon to Han Solo in a bet at one point.
I still uphold that this movie should have been called Scoundrels, a Star Wars story, and it kind of just takes place in their world.
That would be
and they're
that would have been that would have been really good.
They could
just like
they could still do it. You know, they're still out there shooting stuff. Should I make a call?
Well, it's just like, I mean, essentially it looks like that with what's her the new character's name?
Amelia Clark.
Quira.
Oh, is that the name of her
Kira?
Character?
It's like Q-I-R-A, right?
Yeah. So she also looks like she could be, I guess, the timeline of this. So in Rebels, Lando is in Rebels and he's starting his gas mine, right? So this would be before that, I have to assume, because like he's kind of old. He's kind of old in Rebels.
Yeah.
So this is pre Rogue One. This isn't happening then. I'm so interested in this time period of Star Wars.
I think it's interesting what you said about like the a weird Han Solo in like a video game.
Yeah,
because one thing I did strangely like about this is because, like I said about Alden Ehrenreich's performance that we've seen in the trailer, but it doesn't seem like he's trying to do an impression of Harrison Ford. And we've heard that there's, you know, been a little bit of struggle with him on set in terms of his like acting chops with this. And we saw even less of Donald Glover, although I think even in his like posture and his mannerisms that we saw very limited, it also doesn't seem like he's doing a Billy Dee Williams impression, which is great. And what I kind of like about this is that it's giving me the feeling of like an old extended universe story, which is, it's not, it's kind of has to do with the movies, but we're really in an offshoot thing. It maybe doesn't directly affect.
It's inconsequential.
Yeah. That would be best case scenario to me.
Yeah.
With something like this. Cause they can make a ton of them.
Yep, that's how I feel. I mean, I feel it gives me the same feeling that Rogue One gave me. It's like, ultimately, I'm happy this exists because it's another Star Wars movie. But it's like, they are kind of inconsequential to the overall arc.
But But you don't want them to be inconsequential movies.
I guess say I don't want it to be at the cost of the character. I'd rather be at the benefit of the character. Like, you should be able to go back to all the other Star Wars movies, and you shouldn't have this movie have an influence on that character.
Well, and they're so protective of that, though. Sorry, Ryan. Yeah. They're so protective. Lucasfilm, Kathy Kennedy, they all know how important it is not to in some way diminish or potentially ruin Han Solo. And there's been the sense that even, I think, somebody who was connected to the production had said, they get it. They know they can't do this to Han Solo and ruin anything. I continue to believe they would not be releasing this movie if they felt like Alden did such injustice to the character.
Yeah, I think he's going to be fine.
Me too. I think he'll be fine.
Every time I see him, though, I just keep wishing.
Is he going to be fine? It's fine. It's fine. He's just going to.
It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. I wish that I love how that there's like one joke in A New Hope, and then all of Star Wars relies on that joke. It's fine. It's fine. How are you? it makes me wish that Chris Pine was like 20 years younger, and he could have been Han Solo. I think he would have been a good Han Solo.
Chris, you want Chris Pine in every discussion. Role?
We had this discussion.
I think. Something that was charming about the extended universe, and I feel like we're going a little bit through that same kind of synthesis that happened after the original trilogy. And I think it was The Ringer did like a great piece about this, about like the dead years of Star Wars after the original trilogy. But you know, we have these highly reverent like main saga movies, and I think something that's charming about the extended universe stories is that while they're high stakes within like their own bubble, they're low stakes to the whole universe. You know, it's like we know that they're going to go on this like extra adventure and you know, they're not going to die, you know, because we already know that they're here. So I think that if these movies could get to that point where it doesn't even have to be about Han Solo or someone like that, you know, we could have like the Seven Samurai Jedi movie they talked about making a few years ago and things like that. Mm-hmm. I think it could be great.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it's just going to take a little bit of like training to get to that point. They have to build out the world so much that they have to like, I think the ultimate example of that would end up being like a Rebels movie or something like that. Or are you saying just like on a whole different level, just like something that takes place?
I think that they have to get through these kind of like bigger ones. Do you remember when Guardians of the Galaxy came out? Where we were all like, Guardians of the Galaxy, like, who even knows those characters? But, you know, it's Marvel, so they've already made a ton of these good ones. So let's just see what they do.
Yeah.
And then it ended up being great. I think that Star Wars could get to that point, too. Obviously,
it needs one of those. It's like, who cares about Constable? What was that character?
Constable Zubio? Zubio?
Yeah, who cares about him? And then he gets his own movie. You're like, oh my God.
Who is this? There aren't even people we know in the Star Wars movie.
Right.
I think Rian Johnson is going to do that. That's what it sounds like Ryan's creating.
Yeah.
And it might be tough because everyone's going to be like, I don't know anything about these characters. Maybe he'll have some cachet with people who enjoyed The Last Jedi for his trilogy. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be to the average person, oh, this doesn't make any sense to me. Where's Han Solo? Where's Luke Skywalker?
Right.
And if it's done well, you could have the same effect that Guardians of the Galaxy did.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
What I'm saying, Kathy, don't worry about the average person. Concentrate on super fans alone.
Right.
We'll go see it enough. You don't have to worry about everybody else.
All 10,000 of us will go see it.
All right. Quick assessment. Here after watching the trailer, are you more excited after seeing this trailer, or has your excitement or dread not changed because we were all kind of holding back thinking this was not going to be a great movie?
I am genuinely excited for this movie now. I am very excited to see this movie. I think the trailer does a great job not giving us, like you mentioned before, Ryan, like it doesn't give us enough to even understand the plot or any kind of throughput.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
In the process of this conversation, I've kind of like changed my position on it. Now that I'm thinking of it more in an extended universe way, I'm excited. Stakes are low. I think that Donald Glover looks amazing. Mm-hmm. I think Alden Ehrenreich could be cool. I like that they're not trying to do impressions.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of gave me hope.
Yeah.
Also, seemingly
I like the look. Yeah.
it seems like the DP has a vision, even though Ron Howard is allergic to those things.
I knew you were going there.
Seems like the DP really knows what's happening.
I'm very excited. I was excited already just because I have faith in Kathy Kennedy being a smart purveyor or keeper of the franchise of Star Wars, that she knows what she's doing. And everybody at Lucasfilm, I'm very excited even more so. Not only I'm Donald Glover, I would watch him in any movie, watch him in any TV series. I just think he's a once-in-a-lifetime talent. Maybe not a lifetime, but he's a very, very talented individual. I want to see his version of Lando. And I also felt like watching this trailer, I'm really excited to see what Emilia Clarke does in this movie. Because I've always liked her in Game of Thrones. There's something about what she can convey in a facial expression that I thought her lines, where she's even saying that she knows him better or whatever it was, I know the you that no one else knows. I just thought it was so good, and I'm so excited to see her be part of Star Wars.
It's pretty cool. It is very cool. Yeah, I think I'm most excited for like the newer characters and that kind of stuff, and just like the ones that go around. Because ultimately, like we don't know the fate of these characters. So I think I love that aspect of these movies, is that like there's all these things that happen that you don't see these characters ever again. So they have to have a pretty rounded arc.
Yeah.
And so they're usually pretty strong.
That's why I'm excited to announce that at the end of the big pod, tune into Netflix where Solo will be streaming.
Wait, right.
That's right. When you're done listening to this podcast, sign into Netflix. Boom, there's Solo.
Are you trying to get us sued by two different entities?
Yeah, two different
you
companies.
You mean Netflix
at once.
And Disney's soon to be named streaming service?
That would be amazing if they did that. Why don't they just do that?
I would say we should buy stock, but really it doesn't make any difference, because if Disney did buy Netflix, it's not like the stock would jump up that much anyway.
Man.
I want to ask this movie. There's the dialogue throughout both of these trailers. Mm-hmm. What was your reaction to it? Because my initial gut instinct was Han Solo would have never signed up for a flight academy. He wouldn't get kicked out. He wouldn't have even thought he needed to be in a flight academy. He'd be doing his own thing.
Hasn't that been more for a long time?
Has it? I haven't heard. So. Was it part of the expanded universe and I missed it?
I mean, yeah, I know they discontinued that, or they, you know, decanonized it. But
this,
But I believe that it was like said that he and I don't know if Chewie or Lando. I heard once that like they met at the academy.
Okay.
Well, wasn't there rumor that there was a scene at the academy in Revenge of the Sith that they had shot? Do you remember this?
Oh, no. I don't know.
There was a rumor that they had shot a scene with Adam Brody playing a young Han Solo. Okay.
That's
where that took place at the academy. That's where I had heard originally of Han Solo going to the academy.
We got to get Brody on the pod.
Can we get him?
He wouldn't be a bad Han Solo. I think
I'm saving him for my OC pod.
I think. I mean, I think that kind of works with the character. A lot of these side movies, they seem like they are about the rebels, and so I think they're not conforming to academies or whatever. And Han Solo is an extreme case of that. Similar to Jyn Erso.
Also, there needs to be something interesting happening, because if you're going to make a movie about young Han Solo, it can't be that he was like born Han Solo and was always this Han Solo.
Right. Yeah.
He's got to come from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that's not interesting. Being directed by someone who's not interesting.
I'm looking at the still of both. I believe it's Han Solo and Kira. We didn't know.
Chris, I want to record all the different versions of the way you say this name, and then we'll play them at once.
Can we do? If anyone wants to do a super cut of me just trying to say this name, it'd be great. The image, though, is them both sitting in the speeder, and it looks literally like a scene right out of American Graffiti.
Oh, that, like, with the camera on the hood kind of thing?
Yeah. Very funny. Like the hairstyling and everything looks
they
just
should have
like
a scene where he's wearing a white cowboy hat and picking up
exactly.
Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah, exactly. His jacket is white in one of these scenes too. It's pretty funny.
Let me ask.
And he drove the black truck too.
Well, you know who was in not American Graffiti, but oh no.
Yeah, he was.
Ron Howard plays in American Graffiti.
Yeah.
Is this gonna be is this gonna be and I love George, but is this gonna be all Ron Howard being like, I just wanted to pay respect to George.
I hope it takes place at a space diner, and they're just going to be kind of going in and out of it, and we're just going to see a bunch of vignettes of things that happen.
Oh, no. Dex is coming back?
Dex is coming back. Oh, man. That's the movie we need.
Oh, my God. Is Clint Howard going to play an Imperial, like,
yes.
like Admiral
yes.
or something?
No, he'll play one of the operators of some sort of gun.
What do we think of the new droid?
I like it.
I like him a lot. I like the scene with the when they're both doing the same hand motion. It's like this guy is
Lando,
cool.
right?
Yeah, it's
yeah. Salute. I feel
yeah,
like
that makes me Lando, think that droid is cool.
But I feel like Lando loves this droid so much. This droid's gonna die, and then he's gonna make Lobot wear that thing on his head.
He's gonna turn a real person into a droid.
Yeah, that he liked.
So I believe it was one of you in the text string. It might have actually been Sam, and we're going to get to a dispatch from Sam. He has some thoughts that we're going to allow him to give here, even though he can't be on the pod tonight. I want to ask, were there issues with the CGI at the end or at any point in this trailer? Because I believe someone had mentioned they thought it was a little too much CGI compared to what we've been getting used to now in the most recent films.
I have this question for those people. What do the real space monsters look like? I thought it was cool. I mean, obviously, if you're going to have TIE fighters in a lightning storm with giant tentacles, it's going to be CGI. I don't know what to tell you. I that there was a giant monster in this trailer. That's weird. And I like being weird with Star Wars, to quote my good friend Mike.
Thank you,
Ryan. You know what that is? That's a big Rathar. I think they're hauling Rathars.
Got to call it back.
You think that's Dex?
Yeah.
It's Dax's dad.
Wait, so did anybody else, though, feel weird that the Falcon looked different? I don't understand what was going on the outside of the design of the Falcon. Is it a different Carillion ship, and then he gets the Falcon? It looked weird to me.
I wonder if it has a little bit of, like, hot rod culture where they're kind of modifying things. Because they talk about modifying the Falcon a lot. Slightly modified, he says.
Yeah, you're right. It just didn't... I don't know. Even if it was modified, it seems like a really weird modification.
It's a freighter with a light speed engine.
I have a feeling at the end of this, they're going to like crash the Falcon and be like, we can rebuild it.
Yeah. Ooh,
that's how it'll land or something.
Oh, so the prediction.
And I'm on a roll, so that's definitely what's going to happen.
Don't even bring up my emotional episode 9 theory.
I was just going to say,
Chris had like
that prediction.
An episode last week.
What I thought.
Are you going to save it for another pod, Chris?
We'll save it for another pod, but it's just a primer of just what if the Falcon blows up in episode 9? That's all. That's just a teaser for the next pod. But
can I tell a somewhat related but tangential story just regarding that very quickly?
Yeah.
Before episode 8 came out, I was talking to Nicole about my anxiety leading up as we've kind of chronicled well on this pod.
Yeah.
And she, in a sweet attempt to try to make me feel better, I said, I need to see this one. And she said, what about the next one? And I said, I'll worry about that one when it comes. And she says, but Ryan, they're going to make these movies forever. So like, no matter what, like you'll die before you see the last Star Wars movie. Like there will be Star Wars movies after you die. It's just like, what's going to happen? And I cried immediately. Like, it wasn't about Star Wars all of a sudden. It was just like about mortality. And couldn't handle it in that moment. I wasn't prepared.
Not having it.
And it reminded me of you saying the Millennium Falcon.
Well, Ryan, you're going to get to see Solo, so all your dreams will come true.
You know what? Well, maybe. And also, you know what? This pod will live beyond all of us.
Yeah. If you're listening to from outer space right now in a ship that is modeled after the Millennium Falcon,
Earth,
I hope you're enjoying
is that
this.
That planet that burned out millions of years ago?
It burned down?
I want to put Ryan's mind at ease, though. Look at this. Look at it this way. If you're on the verge of death's doorstep, you can just ask for the movie to be screened for you early. So you'll be able to see it before all of us because you get one last dying wish.
There you go.
Oh.
You get the Ron Howard.
If it came
directed.
To that, I would ask JJ to come to my house and pitch episode 9 to me.
You get you'd get the Ron Howard director's cut. And you're like, now more.
Oh, God. This guy,
as far as weird aliens, and the one alien that we see like sit down on the joysticks, is that he's not in Rogue One, is he?
Wait, George one
at 36 seconds.
I have to pull that up.
Okay, If anyone could confirm that, he looks like him, but I don't know for sure. He looks like a young version of that Rogue One.
He sits down on joystick. Oh,
no! Like,
are you talking about the guy that looks like the little thing that looks like Maz Kanata?
No. Oh, he does. Yeah, he does look a little bit like Maz Kanata. Interesting.
It might be Maz Kanata.
Really? No.
Why wouldn't it be?
I don't know.
I don't know if that's Maz.
I don't think it's Maz.
I think we should take the opportunity, though, now to let Sam come in with his thoughts real quick, sure. And then we'll get to some things up here.
He didn't give this to any other outlets, right? This is an exclusive?
It's an exclusive from Sam.
Exclusive, Droid.
Don't miss it. Here it is.
Hello, Droid Heads. This is Sam making a special special broadcast. I have a work conflict. It's busy over at the theater right now, so I'm not going to be able to record with the guys, but I did want to just share my quick thoughts here. You know, the morning after the big game, like everybody else, was watching a very exciting East Coast match, but really, you know, let's face it, we were all really there for the teaser for a certain trailer, and boy, did it deliver. I mean, we got a throwback to classic characters we've known for years throughout the series. We got some amazing shots, some great sequences. I loved the music, the way it was queued up to the music. That's kind of like a modern trailer thing, but I thought it was really good. I thought recognizing the theme, I loved the way they incorporated that. And of course, you know, we got a look at the sort of, you know, big hairy sidekick, of course. So, you know, then I obviously watched the full trailer, and I'm just so excited for Mission Impossible Fallout. I can't believe it. I can't believe what Tom Cruise is doing stunt wise. I think it looks like McQuarrie is, you know, at the top of his game. They're sort of doing James Bond, I think, better than the Bond series is right now. I mean, Bond series is at a high, I think, with Daniel Craig, and they've had some amazing films. And I'm actually a defender of Quantum of Solace, so I think his first three were all super strong. Spectre has dropped a bit for me, you know, in retrospect. But I think the Mission Impossible movies have been on this huge upswing. They seem to have realized that it's the sort of teamwork aspect that everybody loves. And with Tom Cruise, they have this crazy guy who actually wants to, like, Buster Keaton his own stunts. And so the stunts and action sequences that they come up with for the Mission movies have kind of stepped beyond what I think we're seeing in some of the Bond films. I obviously love both franchises. I can't wait. You know, this summer, I think it's the end of July. Can't come soon enough. Henry Cavill gets a moment in the trailer, which is great. And it just looks like it's going to be, you know, a blast, just like 4 and 5 were. You know, and so I think to tie it back in, you know, of course, JJ sort of, you know, relit the fuse on the franchise, so to speak. With MI3, and I'm really thankful he did. Oh, and then there was also a teaser, and then this morning a full trailer for Solo, and it looks exactly like what I feared. Didn't move the needle at all for me. All right, peace out, droids heads.
Oh, man.
Exclusive droid head.
Wow.
Keep Sam. It to the other pod, Sam.
Wow, Sam with the hard troll there. That
Sam is announcing a new podcast, Mission Impossible.
Oh, wow, there you go.
He'll be doing. And I'm glad that he saved us from a cease and desist from NBC Universal by calling the Super Bowl the big game. And I'd like to remind you, after this, go to Netflix and Disney's new streaming service.
Right. That's not
Mickey
right.
VOD to watch Solo.
Cut his mic, Chris. Cut his mic, Chris.
Mickey VOD. That's the name of it. That's pretty good.
Mickey's got VOD.
Do you think it would be different if Sam was on the pod and had not shared his reaction and heard all of us excited? And then he'd be like, I'm ready for it.
I think this bit was going to happen 100% no matter what.
How long do you think Droidheads, write in to let us know how long you think Sam, if he was on the podcast, would have let that bit go before he revealed the Mission Impossible.
I think he did a good job. Because at first I was like, why did he call Woody Harrelson his big hairy sidekick? I was a little confused.
By the way, this is a good reminder that we promised the poster giveaway contest winner in our next episode. We will be doing that in the next episode of the podcast. We promise.
Exactly.
It got lost in all the excitement of Solo: A Star Wars Story, so we will announce the winner in our next podcast. So be ready for that. But anyway, Sam, I disagree with you. I can't believe this didn't at least move the needle somewhat. I know your expectations were low. So how could you not at least get a little bit of a bump from Donald Glover's Lando?
Yeah, I don't understand. I do like, if anything comes out of this, I hope it paves the way for a Lando movie.
Or Scoundrels, a Star Wars story.
Ryan's pushing Scoundrels. I like it.
Sam? You got me back. This movie's going to suck.
Oh, no. Just
but we'll all find out in 1.5 hours on Mickey VOD and Hulu.
All right. To be a little bit more genuine, I do want to say, think about the current Black Panther situation that's going on with the release of this film. The anticipation is through the roof. They're selling out all these showings. You have the opportunity to have the first ever superhero as an African-American character. It's a movie that I feel like it's directed by Ryan Coogler. There's so much in it that is currently culturally relevant and important, and you could have possibly done that with Lando if you would have found the right director with Donald Glover. I just think that's a missed opportunity on the part of Disney.
Wow.
I agree. I mean, yeah. I agree.
Yeah, I think, I mean, yeah, I agree. Also, I think the wheels were just rolling on this thing for so long, and This is like part of that original pitch, wasn't it? And they just did not adapt to the times.
Well, to be fair, I guess Disney gets to benefit from both of them because they're in charge of Marvel
exactly.
as well.
Yeah, Disney
both. They did see it as on the other side.
Yeah, Disney must be hurting on this one.
Whoops.
But hopefully Solo, say that Solo isn't great, which it might be great, but say it isn't, hopefully it is at least good enough and successful enough that that could be a possibility, as opposed to them hitting like a hard reset on it.
They're just going to keep pulling movies from Rian Johnson's trilogy. And then he's going to get like, Rian Johnson's able to direct 3 episodes of the TV series.
Do you think Donald Glover will go on and do another Star Wars movie after this? Obviously, it depends on the success of the movie, but I'm just not convinced that he's going to dedicate any more time to a franchise. I think he'll do a one-off. I think he probably knew that this was a one-off.
That's interesting.
I mean, it depends on, honestly, you know, he came in, everybody did, but I think because of the comedy world, we kind of associate like him coming in because of Lord and Miller a little more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, just because it feels like they'd be part of the same crew. And like that was kind of like a obviously it seems like an obvious choice now, but I think it was a little bit of like a stretch or a reach when they probably brought it to the studio. And I think that they were probably what interested him the most. Mm-hmm. So I think that perhaps, depending on what his experience was like with the reshoots and with Ron Howard, you know, classic comedic director.
Said with such an
all-around cool guy.
He made that movie with Vince Vaughn.
Can I seriously ask, though, Ryan, is there a movie you do like that he made?
Yeah, plenty, actually.
Oh. I thought you hated him.
I mean, honestly, like I really like his movie Parenthood, which I think is very funny.
What about what about Rush? Did you like Rush?
I did not.
I liked Rush. I liked Rush.
Rush was 2 hours of watching Chris Hemsworth be like, "But you have to understand, I want to live my life truly," which was annoying. I thought Apollo 13 is obviously very good.
Beautiful Mind.
Yeah.
Beautiful Mind. I'm telling you, he's good at making middle of the road movies.
That's what I'm saying. You Beautiful Mind, middle of the road in your perspective.
Yeah, he makes these like very non-risky, just like,
yes,
you know, academy
fair.
Movies. And that's fine, and they have a this place, and like my grandpa loves them, and that's cool.
This is the first Star Wars story that will win an Academy Award.
For something other than effects?
Yep, it will win Best Screenplay.
This will be the first Star Wars movie that old people go to see because they say, "I like that Ron Howard." Do you think Aunt Nancy's excited?
She is. Very much so. This is the only time I've heard her talk about Star Wars, to be honest.
That Alden Ehrenreich is very handsome.
All right, I think we've reached our time on this podcast. We're going to do more of a frame-by-frame breakdown in the coming weeks as we talk about every single droid that we saw, the singer, that contraption that was used at one point where there was also the villain who looks like he could be a droid on top of the train. We'll get into all of that in our next podcast. It's exciting to have another film so quickly. I just am thrilled that we get a chance to talk about this every week or two because it's a great way for us to continue to share our love for Star Wars and our, if you're Ryan, true hate for Ron Howard.
It's not hate. I would never have that strong a feeling about Ron Howard.
That'll do it for The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Don't forget to watch Solo, a Star Wars Story on Netflix right after this.
Oh, boy.
These are the droids you're looking for.
This is madness.